you'd like to turn in your Bible with me this evening. A couple of weeks ago, we talked started this off about the sower and the seed. We have God's word in our hand, the seed. It's our responsibility as a sower to spread that seed, to give forth that seed. But that part of this parable is really a very small part of the parable. The biggest part of the parable is talking about the four different types of soil. And we will switch from in the context of this, though the context, the literal context of this parable is all united. But I believe that the small portion about the sower and the seed has a big part for us to play, or we have to understand how we play in that part. But then we switch over in the context to the actual part of the soil. Anybody that's ever planted anything before knows that the soil has an important part in the seed doing what it's supposed to do. We will notice as we read this, as we study this, that this soil that is being made reference to here, is the soil of our soul. And if we look at it in the personal, did you catch that? Look at it in the personal. In other words, we turn this parable like a mirror towards our heart to see which one reflects what our heart is. Our soil, the soil of our soul. There's four different ones, and I'm not even going to attempt to get it all done in one service. Deal with these four soils. But let's look here at chapter 13 of Matthew and verse number 4. Let's bow our head for prayer as we ask God to help us in this part of the service. Father, we thank you for your presence thus far. Thank you for the Spirit of God that has been with us. As we open up your word today, I pray that you would help us to see the soil of our soul the way you see it. That we will recognize the effectiveness of our soil to produce a crop. We would bring forth fruit. Give us that anointing that we need, not only as speaker, but as hearer as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Jump over to verse number 19, where he continues the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now the word there, understandeth. I am made to believe by those that have studied the New Testament Greek. I am made to believe that word understandeth, within the confines of its definition, means considereth. Just consider that for a little bit. That when the seed comes to us, we have a responsibility to understand it or to consider it. Then within the confines of the word considereth, it would also have to do with the idea of grasping in order to comprehend. You see, we have a vital part to play in the quality of our soul, the soil of our soul. We play a vital part in the quality of that soul. For us to grasp, comprehend, to consider it. Now, as we look at this particular portion of the soil, it is the soil of the wayside or the pathway. This was the soil that was unbroken. It was packed down. It was hard baked. The wayside was where people walked back and forth, going from here to there and from there to here. The land in those days where they were planting these crops was divided into plots. A square here, and another square here, and another square here, and another square here. If I had a dry erase board up here, we could draw it out. You might think of it as the layout of a tic-tac-toe game. You know, two lines up, two lines over. And the plots were in between. And where the lines were, that was the wayside, the pathway. Each plot was separated by the wayside. Now, if you're following that this evening, you would have an understanding in your mind that at least in a figurative sense, in a small measure, every time somebody walked on that pathway, it became a little more packed. How long does it take to make a path through the grass or the woods? You know, if you have you don't have it out here. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about out here in the country. The mailman drives by and puts it in the mailbox. But in the city or in the towns where the mailman will walk from door to door, you don't see him very often going back out the sidewalk and then down the sidewalk and back up. They cut across. And it doesn't take very many times before there's a pathway. And the grass doesn't grow where there's a pathway. You know, a deer hunter, he looks for the pathway in the woods where the deer make a habit of walking. That's the pathway. That's the wayside. There's two aspects that we need to consider about this wayside soil. There's two aspects. The first aspect would be of the people who walk on this pathway to make it hard, to make it compact, to make it such that the seed can't take root or the grass won't grow. The people that walk there. The first person that I see walking on the pathway here of the soil of our soul is, itself. Lo and behold, it's me, or it's you. Self. You know, many times when the seed comes in our direction, if we disagree with it, we will say, I don't believe it that way. You know, sometimes country folk have a way of saying things that just really bear out truth. Kids were playing a game the other day, and it was last weekend, and somebody was doing something unfair. They were cheating a little bit. And so the other team that was being honest in their game, they were making a little bit of a fuss about it, and Farmer Vaughn speaks up with the words of wisdom, and he said, you know why it's unfair? Because it's on the other team. It's the other team that's doing it. Now, I didn't catch it right away, Vaughn. I didn't really grasp the meaning that was in those words. But you know that's true. If we try to do it, it's not really cheating. It's only unfair when the other team does it. Do you realize that sometimes we find ourselves in the soil of our soul taking the seed and doing the same thing with it? It's not for me. That's for somebody else. I'm not going that way. I don't want to do that. I'm not ready for that. I don't need that. Self will harden the soul, the soil of the soul. It's been a number of years ago, I was talking to a couple of young men in their 30s. They were raised pretty much the same way that I was raised. We had quite a similarity of background, though that these two young men were now away from God. They weren't going to church. They weren't serving the Lord. And was talking to them about being on a softball team, playing softball in a league. Man, it's fun to play ball. It's always a great time to fellowship and to enjoy that competitive spirit that is there to play ball. And you know, it would be good exercise to play ball every week on a team and in a league. And it would be so much fun. It would be a good way to get to know other people well, as well. You know, have a little bit of influence in the league situation, in the people's lives that are playing the game. We were discussing it. We were talking about it. And then the subject turned around to how so many times the game of softball, as innocent as it can be, can grip a person's life or grip a person's heart in the area of competition. Those of you that have been around me when I play ball, you know that I play to win. There's no sense in playing unless I win. You might call that overly competitive, but there's a drive in there to win. I do not play basketball to lose, though I lost my fair share yesterday. I do not play to lose. Now, when you're talking about softball and softball leagues, in order to win, you must be good. In order to be good, you must play the game a lot. Practice a lot. At that point of the conversation, when we were talking about that very aspect, one of the guys said that it's hard to stay happily married and be in a softball league. I guess being the preacher that I am, or just the Christian, I guess I responded it this way. As I heard when he said those words, my response was, then it must be hard to be a good Christian too. Now hold on with me, okay? Stay with me. Don't throw me out yet. You see, they didn't like that statement. It was a joke for them to use their wife situation, their relationship with their wife in the midst of this league play. Although, even though it was a joke to them, it was still true. It's hard to stay happily married and be in a softball league. Say, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say with that is that self in their lives rejected the truth of what I was saying. Even though it was still true. It was almost like 2 plus 2 equals 2. You know, if it was true that it's hard to stay happily married and play in the game, then it seems very logical that it'd be hard to be the proper Christian and play the game. So 2 plus 2 equals. Is it 4 or is it 2? Are you following me? You understand what I'm saying? They accepted one aspect as true, but they refused to accept the other aspect as truth, even though it was based on the same level. You see, itself
that hinders the seed from growing. Self walking on the path. Now the second person I see walking on the path, there's quite a resemblance here. Oh, wait, it's a twin to self. It's called pride. It's called pride. I can't look like that. I can't dress like that. I'd be ashamed to be counted among that number. You see, pride will harden the soil of our soul so that when some seed of God's truth comes to us, we will reject it just simply, we'll shove it aside just simply because our pride will get in its way. Let me move on here to the third person that I see walking on the pathway of our heart that'll harden the soil of our soul. That would be bad habits. No, bad habits do not start out as such. Just like concrete does not start out as a solid or a hardened piece. You know what concrete does. You pour it in a liquid form or at least in a soft, mushy form. You can step in it. You can do whatever you want to with it. Form it right into whatever form you want it to be in. And then it hardens and it takes a little bit more to break. There's a concrete stoop at the back side of Evansville Pilgrim Holiness Church. I don't know about that square and about that deep. And there are some imprints in that of three little children. I left my mark, or they left their mark. Here's Janae's, and they were real small compared to that. Jonathan's the same, and Caleb's were just real tiny. But that stuff was formable. Put their feet in it, mark their name, and now it's there until they take a sledgehammer to that or Jesus comes. Bad habits don't start out as such. They develop over time. And our self and our pride can get into the place to where it develops bad habits within us. The fourth person I see walking on this pathway is, we don't like this guy. We really shun this particular individual, and we usually shut the preacher off when he mentions it. Worldliness. Yeah, Mr. Worldliness is walking on the pathway, and worldliness will startle us, or it will stifle us, or it will choke us. It'll destroy us. I hope that worldliness startles us. Because the person that loves the world, the love of the Father, is not in him. That's plain and simple. Now, I'm fully aware tonight that worldliness is a relative term. A little bit like modesty. So let's not go to the relativism of its definition. Let's look at God's word as to what worldliness is. He that loves the world. Basically, Scripture would tell us that if we love the world more than we love the holiness of God, the things of this world, if our desire is to be as close to the world as we possibly can be, rather than as close to the holiness of God that we can be. I've been hearing a little bit too much from some people around me. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers right here tonight, okay? Now, if you're guilty, then say amen and ouch to yourself if you want to, but I'm not referring to anybody in particular here, so don't think that I am. But I've been hearing an awful lot lately about throwing away this aspect or this thing of separation. that God really doesn't require us to be as separate from the world as what maybe some of our spiritual leaders and forefathers have required us to be. But I think we better just step back and take a little bit of notice about how far we're going. Thursday afternoon, I believe it was, in at the convention, Brother Lyne preached a tremendous message on the love of many waxing cold. I don't remember who all may have been in there from here, but it was a tremendous message, degree by degree, getting cooler. Not significant amount of change, not a significant amount of difference, just a degree by a degree of a difference taking place. Sometimes that's the way it is in the realm of our separation. Degree by degree, we move further away from modesty, or we move further away from a careful walk or a careful dress or a careful idea or mentality or a way of thinking. The way of thinking worldly minded with our money. Only $12 a month. Put it on your Sears card. Oh, I can afford $12 a month. And then, yeah, lo and behold, somebody has a flat tire. You're already maxed out. How can I fix my flat tire?
I'm not saying you're maxed out. That's your car out there, isn't it? I didn't mean it that way.
How can I take care of the surprises in life if I'm already maxed out? You see, that's the mentality of the world. I believe that fits fully within the realm of what Jesus is telling us, or Scripture's telling us, about worldliness. That's not the plan that God has for us. Degree by degree, slowly moving away from. That's how people arrive at the place of wearing tank tops in public. Do what? Very seldom people of the church have jumped overboard and began to wear sleeveless clothing. It was just degree by degree. I can point to you number of people, countless people of my own acquaintance who have done that very thing. And we don't just have to talk about sleeves. We can talk about every aspect of our lives. There was a time that I kind of had it in my mind that I wanted a dress watch. You know, one for work and one for dress. Now, the one for dress had to be really nice. Maybe I can use that example because I just don't see the value in having two watches anymore. But you know, I've known some people who profess to be in love with God and they don't have any love for the world, but then they will dress themselves up with the most costly of watches when all they need is something to tell time. Man, there's some nice watches. I don't know how many of you have. Do you have a Bulova around here? Did anybody wear a Bulova watch? They're pretty nice. Rolex? Were you raising your hand there on that one, Warren? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a Bulova watch or a Rolex watch. But what is our motive behind that? Is it a sense or a spirit of worldliness? I better move on. Worldliness in our heart will compact the soil and we will not grow seed. Plain and simple. Number five, here comes another person that will compact the soil of our soul. His name is carelessness or neglect. Or maybe that's one of them's his middle name. Carelessness or neglect. Now let's jump here to verse number 19 once again and look at that word understandeth. Understandeth it not. Carelessness or neglect. Remember what I said about that? The word has within its definition considereth. Do we hear any kind of preaching from anybody at all and we just automatically throw it out? We don't give any consideration to it. Somebody told me one time, or I've been told a number of times, that Archie Atwell just preaches on way too many things. I'll just use his name. There's a host of people that preach on way too many things. Now, I'm not talking about people that just throw out blanket statements and they're just, it boggles your mind. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things, bringing it right down to a spiritual level. And then I heard somebody who was coming out of the more liberal persuasion, if you please. He said it this way, and I feel like this is probably the way that we all ought to feel. He said, I don't have a problem with somebody preaching it straighter than the way I believe it. He said, I'd rather hear the straightest preaching than to not hear straight preaching. Understandeth it or considereth it not, doesn't give any attempt to grasp or to comprehend the reasoning behind the preaching. I believe that sometimes I have been in danger of taking something that has been given to me in a preaching situation and just throwing it off without any consideration of its validity in my life. Carelessness and neglect, not only in that sense, but also in our lives of service, in our life of study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, all of these areas. Number six, some of you don't want to hear this one, not because it's a problem in your life, but because we are in mixed company. And I'm not getting in deep, but this person is Mr. Sensuality. Day and age in which we live, this particular person is stamping out a lot of good seed. Probably because carelessness has walked before him. Walking before him. Seems to be a modern trend now among people to wear their pants or their skirts lower and their tops shorter on the length. You've heard me say it before. But I believe that when we are venturing into the area of sensuality, we are hardening the soil of our soul. Number seven, the seventh person that walks here you guessed it. It's just sin in general. Just plain sin. Or you could even say it this way, anything that tends to lessen our love for God. Did you catch that? Do you understand that? Anything that tends to lessen our love for God will harden the wayside or the soil of our soul to be a wayside pathway where seed will not produce. There's one more person that walks this way that'll harden this pathway. This one is particularly of concern to me. The very feet of the sower. The very feet of the sower hardens the pathway. He's walking from plot to plot and he's broadcasting seed. And as he walks on that wayside, he himself, who's trying to broadcast seed, is causing that soil to become non-fruitful. Are you following? Following me? Scripture says that he that often being reproved hardeneth his neck. You see, reason why it's of special concern to me is that every time I walk down a certain pathway of preaching and somebody rejects that seed or that aspect of that seed, it becomes harder for them to receive a nugget of God's Word. We can become so calloused. We can become so calloused to preaching that it doesn't matter what the preacher says or how pointed he gets right out of God's Word. Our heart can become so calloused or so smoothed over that the seed can't find lodging when we continue to put our hands up and say, "No, no, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that." The very feet of the sower. Dr. McLaren said that every sermon that an ungodly man hears, which leaves him ungodly, leaves him harder by the passage of the word once more across his heart. And I don't believe that that is just limited to the ungodly, as it were. That also encompasses any one of us. Every time the sower goes across and we don't break up our fallow ground, we have an important part to play. The wayside soil. The hardened soil of the heavenly traveled path. Not only is hard soil not conducive to growing a good seed into a harvest, but we are informed here of another source that prevents growth. Verse number 19, I believe it is. The wicked one cometh. Verse number 4 tells us that the fowls came and devoured it. What kind of fowls, what kind of birds are out there eating the seed? Farmers, what's the first bird that comes into a freshly planted cornfield? They're black in color. Crows, blackbirds, and starlings. Nasty creatures. Let's name some of those crows that fly in to grasp the seed from that wayside. Humanistic philosophy. Say, preacher, humanistic philosophy? Okay, let's change the wording a little bit. Modern day views. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. You see, God wants us to have a different way of thinking. Humanistic philosophy. Number 2, those birds that come in and rob us of that good seed. Reading material. You can hear the ouches, the groans, or the sighs. Oh, leave it alone. Let me venture out just a tad further in this particular aspect here. Reading material. What translation of the Bible are you looking at? Hold with me. There are times that I like to compare with some other translations. Perhaps my most favorite would be the Amplified. Times I like to look over at Weymouth, or Weymouth, however you want to pronounce his name. Sometimes I like to look at J.B. Phillips. It doesn't matter necessarily. I don't focus in on him, though. I don't focus in on any one of them. Occasionally I'll look at the NIV, but too many times I've found the NIV that they have removed the blood. I get a little frightened when they remove the blood. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, there may be a popular translation, but if it's removing key elements of Scripture, some vital aspects of salvation, you see, it could be a crow that'll come in and take away the seed. Our reading material. Novels, science fiction, periodicals, Sports Illustrated, deer and deer hunting. That's my favorite deer magazine, Deer and Deer Hunting. We need to be careful about our reading material. There's some of these deer hunting magazines that the biggest thing that they focus on is the evolution of the white-tailed deer. You know, I don't really care about how it was 5 million years ago with the white tail. I just don't believe it that way. But we can be reading philosophy of the evolution of the white-tailed deer, and the more we read of that, if we continue to focus on that, that's going to become what we understand. Take that into any area of your life. Whatever it is that you want to read, if it's giving a different direction or an antithesis to what God wants us to have and understand, then we better be careful. That is probably a crow. Number three, programming on the airwaves can be a crow or a blackbird to snatch away the seed. I know I'm talking to the choir tonight, but it doesn't. You don't have to go very far to understand that television in the home is a bad situation for everybody involved. I don't understand how so many professing Christians can say and admit that programming on the television is sensual, it's immoral, it's immodest, the language pathetic, and yet they continue to have it. Oh, they will admit that it's ungodly. Somebody just said to me today, Discovery Channel. Isn't that good? Watch the Discovery Channel and see all those animals. I don't even believe that watching the Discovery Channel is all that productive in the life of children. Programming on the airwaves, though, as the bird that would take away the seed, isn't just television. It could be, hold on with me here just a second, hang on real tight, put your seatbelts on, it could be Christian radio. Could be iPods. It could be simply for this reason, that we have to have some noise in the background of our life 24/7, and it robs us of the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I thought my dad was being absolutely mean to me. I wasn't allowed to go to bed listening to Christian radio. I'm talking about good Christian radio. Bill Pierce. Some of you probably don't even know who Bill Pierce is or was. I don't know if he's even still on. Or go to bed listening to Unshackled. Wonderful stories of lives being changed. Shackles being broken. Wonderful. No, Dad wouldn't let us go to bed listening to that stuff. And as I look back on it now, you know when it was that God was able to speak to me and convict me? It wasn't so much in church like you are sitting here tonight. It was in my bed before I went to sleep. God came and drove His daggers into my heart, and I made my way out of bed many times to Dad and Mom's room. Will you pray with me? Oh, now if I went to bed all the time listening to something that would push that aside and drive those things from my mind. Yes, I believe that even Christian programming, the noise, will rob us of quiet times where God's Word could otherwise come and speak to us. The fourth bird would be intellectual skepticism. Intellectual skepticism. Too smart for our own good could be another way of putting it. Number five, the fifth bird that would come along would be evil associations. Now, I'm not talking when I say separation of isolationism. I'm talking about being a part of, but not involved with all the time. Evil associations. I've seen so many people have their best friends are in the world, and before long, where are they going? They're going that direction. Number six, the final bird that'll rob us, inconsistencies of our Christian professing. Inconsistencies. Somebody's been trying to get me to go paintball shooting with them. At first I thought it was going to be a bunch of teenage boys out there with me coming out to go with them. Yeah, I can see that happening. It won't be a team effort. It'll be everybody against the preacher. So I was opposed to that. As a matter of fact, I've never done it basically for one reason. And I've got live ammunition and real guns in the house, and I didn't want my children to grow up thinking you point a gun at somebody and you pull the trigger, it's okay. So I've always refrained from that. But my boys do like to play deer hunting in the house with a rubber band on their finger. And so one of them is a deer and it's coming through, and the other one's up on the couch or somewhere, has the grunt tube, and they'll come through there and they'll shoot that rubber band. I got you, you're dead! And I got to thinking about how inconsistent that is. You can't do this, but you can shoot rubber bands. Okay, what's the difference? You know, we could probably argue it a little bit. Let's go into our spiritual realm. How inconsistent sometimes we can be in the spiritual realm of our lives. Birds. Verse number 9. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. If I know anything at all about compassion and the heart of a minister, it is only a small fraction compared to that of the heart of Christ. But I feel that there may have been a tear from the eye of Jesus Christ. If not a tear from his eye, his heart surely was flooded with tears as he was speaking about this particular soil. Because we have a vital part to play in whether or not our soil, the soil of our soul, is hard-packed or it's good soil. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 8, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, both of these verses use this kind of terminology. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is that ground that is untilled. Hard packed. Let me read it again. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Take away the mirror of God's word away from our soul tonight. What do we see? Do we see wayside soil? Break up our fallow ground. Let's stand together.